Good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. I don't know if you guys were here during morning service this past Sunday, but, John did the same thing in both services where he shared God's heart, which was in 2 Chronicles 5. 14, and this is not the verse, but I'll read it as you guys go to 2 Chronicles 7. And he said, "So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of God, of the Lord, filled the house of God." And he was explaining, you know, as he was leading us into worship, how amazing it would be if during the worship service, what if God was to come in such a way that it was so powerful that not even Pastor Sam could preach, or you know, not even they could worship, you know, in such a way, because wouldn't that be amazing? And when he said that, I felt God had put a word into my heart to speak out 2 Chronicles 7. And actually this part, when I gave it, and what I really felt like God was saying is, yes, God will come, and it's his promise to come, but we have a, not a responsibility, but we need to come in repentance to the Lord. And I think when I gave that word, it was quite intense because it was rising up in me at the time. It was pretty intense. I think at one point I was probably like, screaming, repent, or something like that. But I wanted to take a chance. And, you know, when I was really praying about what to kind of speak on this morning, I kind of wanted to take a moment to exegesis this passage a little bit and to teach on it. And so we recognize what it was that I felt like God was trying to say. But before I do this, I know this is kind of a heavy thing for the morning, I'm praying maybe I should do this on a Sunday as well, kind of to explain. But first, I just want to say, I think I have a similar problem as P. Sam. This is just my face. Sometimes I look like I'm scowling or I'm unhappy or I'm angry. I'm not angry. I have a loud voice. Sometimes I may be screaming when I get really intense and I really get into it, but I'm not angry or anything. This is just the way I express myself. So is that okay? Can I? That's good, yeah? Okay. So let's read 2 Chronicles 7, 11 to 14. Actually, there's something that's funny because I've always had to do this, even when I was younger. A lot of my friends, when they first met me, they thought I was like the meanest person. And it was, after they got to know me, they're like, oh, okay, you're not that bad. But anyway, I just had to. So 11 to 14. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. And the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, "I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Amen. So, let me give a little bit of background on this passage first, yeah? So, what I was saying is, remember John was saying, oh yeah, wouldn't it be amazing if the priest would, or if the Spirit of God would come into this place, and we would be so filled with this cloud that really none of us would be able to worship. Well, what was happening in the time is, do you remember back when 2 Samuel 7, right? David was sitting in his house, and this was after he had completed building his palace, and, you know, God had delivered all of Israel from enemies, and there was actually peace in the land and whatnot. And David was sitting there, and he was saying, look at me. I'm sitting in this house that I've built for myself, you know, this house of cedar, but the Lord our God, right? And at the time, he was talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of God. You know, but God, where is he? He doesn't have a house of his own. He's in a tent, right? And remember why the Ark of God was in a tent was when David was bringing back the Ark of God to Jerusalem, what happened was they had put the Ark on a cart, and they had oxen pulling it. And what happened was along the way, the oxen stumbled and the cart shook. And the Bible tells us that basically the cart got upset and the ark looked like it was going to fall. And so Uzzah, one of the priests, reached out his hand to stable the ark, which is a good thing, right? But what happened was when he put his hand on the ark, God struck him and killed him. Now this is for a sermon, another sermon in itself. But P. Sam was teaching on this. Remember, the reason is because the ark was never meant to be carried on a cart. It was actually meant to be carried by men, right? Like there were the rings on the corners of the ark, and it was always meant to be carried either by poles, you know, on the shoulders, or by men. And so what happened was that God was saying, was displeased with how we basically the people of Israel were taking care of the ark. And that's kind of the story behind that. So God struck down Uzzah, and David was saying, actually, the Bible tells us David was angry with God, and he said, God, what are you doing? You know, we're bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And so he's saying, you struck down Uzzah. There's no way I can bring the ark into the city of David. And so what he does is he gives the ark to this guy named Obed, and he pitches the tent, and he puts the ark in there. And that's why the ark ends up being in there. Now, we fast forward, right, all the way to 2 Chronicles. And what had happened is, actually, sorry, let me take a step back. So remember during David's reign, when David was saying this, remember there was a point when he was saying, hey, God, can I build a house for you? Right? And this is back to the whole text, right? Is, you know, I'm sitting in this house of cedar, and you don't have a place. You're in a tent. Can I build a house for you? And God says, you know what? There will be somebody that will build a house from your line, right? From a king, but it won't be you because of the blood that's on your hands. Remember, David was a warrior, and he you know, he basically killed a lot of people. And so God said, it's not going to be you, right? It'll be your son. So David gets all the materials, he gets it ready, and he provides it for Solomon so that when Solomon becomes king, he's the one that builds the temple. And 2 Chronicles 5, what John was talking about, was basically this is when the temple is just finished, and they're about to dedicate this temple to God and to make it the house of God, right? And so what was happening was that the priests were coming in, they were bringing the offering and the sacrifice, they were laying it before God, and you know what the Bible tells us? They had cymbals and lyres, and they were singing, and they were worshiping, and then when they were doing that, God's Spirit just, bang, fills the temple. And all of them just—they just fall down. They can't even worship, and it's so thick. And so, what is 2 Chronicles 7? How does it? Why is it that in 1 minute we see that God's, you know, just saying, "Oh, bang!" You know, like I'm here, and then in another moment, he's kind of giving the Israelites these conditions for him being there. The reason is because in chapter 6, Solomon prays to God, right? And what he does is he builds this like bronze platform, and he's kneeling there with his hands outstretched, and now that he's praying, he's dedicated the temple to God, and he's saying, God, we are your people. You know, you've kept your commandments, you've kept or your promises. There's a king from my father's line, which is myself, that's on the throne, and you've delivered that. You know, you've promised that we're going to build a house for you. Now you've delivered that as well. Well, then, God, we are your people. If we move forward, God, if we forget about you, or if we sin against you, if we come into this house where you are, and we ask for forgiveness, will you forgive us? God, if we go against, you know, another army, you know, if there's other people that come against Israel and we lose because of our hearts, because we are disobedient to you, if we come into this place, this house of God, and we pray to you, God, will you forgive us? And he keeps praying, you know, God, if famine comes, you know, if this, and this happens because of us and our sin and our disobedience, will you come and will you forgive us? Chapter 7 is God's response, right? And this is what I love, right? Even before God speaks, you know what happens is fire just comes down. It's like, boof! Everything in the temple, all the offering just, boom, gets burned up. And God comes, and then he speaks. And this is what he says to Solomon, right? From 11 to 14, basically what we read, is that God's promise is, look, you're my people, and I'm your God, and I will see you through. I will be with you. But is it that simple? It's because if we look at verse 14, actually, there's conditions to the Israelites, to God coming back into their midst, healing their land, forgiving them, delivering from their enemies. God is saying, yes, I'm going to come back, but there are conditions. So if we take a look, I'm basically just going to be teaching on 14. And my people who were called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, heal the land. There's basically four things. And the first thing God says, look, I will come and I will heal your land. I will forgive you. But the first thing you need to do is you need to humble yourself. Humble themselves, right? He's saying to Solomon, humble. If your people humble themselves, so he's basically speaking to the congregation of Israel, right? In this sense, what God is saying is it's not just like a humbling of just like, oh God, I'm not good enough. oh God, I'm, you know, you are worthy, all these things. Yeah, those are good. But what God is really saying to Israel in this case is actually admitting of sin. So God, when he's saying humbling yourself, is, look, you guys, the first condition I need for you guys to do is you need to humble yourself. You need to recognize and to admit that you have sinned. That's the first thing, okay? And let me take a tangent here for a moment, because I actually think this is one of the most important points of this, right? Now, I understand that now, as in the New Testament, as Christians for us today, we have Jesus Christ. We have a Savior who died for us on the cross, right? We've been justified through faith, right? Paul tells us this through Romans. It's not anything we did. We don't have to sacrifice burnt offerings or anything like that. Jesus died for us, and so we are justified, right? And remember, the Israelites didn't have that. Israelites had to do offering and burnt offerings, and P. Sam's going through this in Exodus right now, right? What you got to do with, you know, cutting the cow and all that sort of stuff. And I understand we have that. But as Christians and as mature Christians, our delight isn't just so that we are saved, but it's a process of sanctification that we need to go through. And this is kind of what God is outlining. And the first thing he's saying is, first, hey guys, you need to recognize, right? He's telling the Israelites that not only do you need to come back to me, but you need to humble yourself and recognize you are sinning, or that there is sin, and you need to admit that there is sin. And if I was to exegesis and kind of take a hermeneutical view on this and how it kind of pertains to us, and this is the part that I really kind of wanted to express on the Sunday. And again, this when I'm speaking this, it's not just kind of to you guys and saying, hey, you know, you and whatnot. And I'm speaking to myself here as well. But it's kind of the idea that, you know, as God's people, we need to recognize that we are sinners. We need to recognize that, yes, there is a Lord that died for us, but the part of humbling ourselves is saying, God, I'm a sinner. God, I am not perfect. I'm unworthy. You've made me worthy, but really, I'm a sinner. And the idea that God kind of brought to me in this case was actually, you know, sin in the camp, right? John was saying, look, wouldn't it be amazing if God was to come down into this place and really just floor us with his presence? Yes, it would be. But, you know, for God to want to come, we really need to be a people that seeks his face, that seeks obedience, righteousness, right? Again, we're not a gospel of works, right? It's not that, oh, if we do good things, God is going to come. It's not, but our heart is to bless the Lord, right? God loves us, but not only are we his, but is he our God, but really we should be seeking to be his people. And to do that, we need to be justified, sanctified, seeking obedience and righteousness, right? Seeking holiness. And the idea of sin in the camp came up. If we remember in Joshua 6, remember when God tells Israelites, go to Jericho, I'm going to give Jericho to you. And basically they march around Jericho and they destroy it. But God says to them, when you go into Jericho, don't do anything. Don't take any of their stuff. And Achan, A-C-H-A-N, right? Achan, he after they destroy Jericho, he disobeys. He basically finds this money, he takes it and he hides it. Remember what happens is Israelites, they have to go up against another army. And when they do that, Joshua sends 3,000 men out there. But what ends up happening is they get slaughtered, right? Even though God had said, okay, I'm going to give you Jericho. And basically they're just saying, okay, God, you're going to deliver us. This army you're going to deliver us to. We're going to go. But they get slaughtered. And Joshua's like, yo, what's going on? God, you said you were going to deliver us from this army, and now you're slaughtering us. And God's saying, look, someone in your camp has sinned. And so he takes a census, right? He goes into the camp and he says, guys, what's happened? What's going on? And then Achan basically says, look, it was me. I stole this money even though we weren't supposed to. And what happens is the entirety of Israel basically has to suffer because of a person's sin. And so when I'm reading this, I kind of feel like, you know, it's great that we desire for God to want to come into this place, but as his people, are we seeking God's heart? Are we really coming into this place with repentant hearts? Like, are we just saying, God, come, God, come? But are we saying, God, we've sinned. We repent. Lord, whatever we've done, we're sorry. You know, we want to be clean before you so that you will come. And the idea of sin in the camp that I feel God was speaking to us about was that we have to recognize that, look, when we're talking about sin too, right, it's not just the big things, you know. I know we're not a people, and we desire to delight in God, and we desire to seek him. We don't, you know, we don't go and kill, we don't murder, and we don't steal these things. But even in the little things, are we being faithful? Even in the little things, you know, and the example I like to give is like downloading movies, because I argue with my friends all the time. They're like, hey, the movie's made available to me. I'm not stealing it. It's just available to me. And I'm like, maybe I'm a bit too black and white. And I say, hey, guys, you know, somebody had to rip it, put it onto the internet for you to take this. I shouldn't say who I argue with this, but the point is, it's a small thing, right? Like, it's something as simple as, look, I'm just downloading a movie, or I'm streaming something, or, you know, but sin is sin, right? A little white lie is not just, oh, you know, it won't affect anyone. It's actually, if we take a look at the word, right, it affects the body as a whole, corporately. And again, I'm not saying this to say, look, you're sinners, and I'm not. That's not the case, right? Remember, I was preaching on Romans, right? Like, the same thing I'm telling you guys, I'm speaking to myself too, is do I have a heart where in all things that I do, big and small, that I seek God, right? And that should be our heart. That should be in everything that we do. God, I delight in you. And God, I delight to be justified, and I delight to be obedient in you. And that's the first thing. So, sorry, I went off on the tangent. But the first thing that he calls them to do is to humble themselves. Basically, look, admit your sin. The second thing he's telling Israel is to pray, right? And this one's much more simple. Basically, when he's praying, say, look, admit your sin, but also recognize you need to repent, right? It's not good enough just to say, Lord, I've sinned. Okay, that's it. Look, oh yeah, okay, I'm sinning. But Lord, I've sinned. And then be honest to the Lord, right? God, I have sinned in such and such a way. Forgive me. You know, this is my heart. I'm inhuman. And this is something else I kind of want to speak to too, right? God, and P. Sam says this all the time, God is a, I just licked the mic. Sorry. So God is a big God, okay? It's okay for us to be honest. And I think as Christians, I think this is the part that's the most difficult for us sometimes. If I could kind of give an example, right? For me, if I have, sometimes when I have sinned, especially, you know, when it comes to pride, you know, or when it comes to other things that I feel like God's told me not to do, the first thing the enemy wants me to do is not to repent, right? It's very simple, right? I'll feel bad about it, and I'll be like, oh, you know, I was prideful and stuff like that. But oh, it's okay. You know, you don't really have to repent. You know, okay, like, you know, I've sinned. I recognize it was a sin. And part of it, too, is guilt, right? There's this guilt in our hearts and the shame that makes us feel like, oh, I can't go to God. I can't go to him because he's going to be angry or whatnot. And these are the lies that, you know, even I hear. But what happens is the longer we take to repent and to really be honest before God, what happens is it creates this gap between us and God. And not because God is creating a gap, but really our hearts are becoming hardened because we're saying, oh, I need to kind of hide my face from God. Right? And so God is telling the Israelites, look, don't do that. Just admit the sin and come before me. Just be honest and just simply repent. Right? And that's the second thing I felt like God was saying to us is, look, I love you guys. I want to be with you guys. And there's nothing that I'm not here to condemn, but we need to repent, right? And so that's it. Simply, the second thing is simply just to be honest, right? Be repentful. The third thing he's saying to the Israelites is seek my face. Now, this has to do with the idea of sanctification, right? We know we're justified by faith. We know Christ died for us. But as we mature as Christians, as we walk in God's ways, as we continue to seek him, I mean, it's good that we desire God, but at the same time, I would like to think that we also want to bless him too, you know, because we're blessed with his presence. But we also want to bless his heart, right? We want to seek his heart. How can we, God, as a people, love on you and to make you feel like we worship you and desire you and love you? And I'm not saying that asking for him to come is not a bad thing. And this is where I kind of feel a pull in my heart, right? Yes, it's good for us to ask for God to come, but I feel like the flip side of that is, God, come, but we are repentant in our heart to do so. We want to sanctify ourselves before you. We want to become people who continually seek your face, who want to know your word, who want to understand your heart, who want to know your statutes, your laws, your the things that you call us to do. And the idea for the Israelites here was that God was saying, look, continue to seek me. continue to follow me, continue to worship me. And we know that the Israelites didn't do a very good job of this, right? Because after Solomon, there's, you know, 20 kings in both Israel and Judah, and most of them fail miserably, and they go into exile, right? So for us as a people, we should use it as a warning, right? We need to sanctify ourselves. Not just, yes, God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, but Lord, our prayer should be, God, renew me every day, change me, create in me a new heart, bring me closer to you so that I may bless you, you know, and that you may be my God. And the fourth thing, so that's the third thing. The fourth thing is to turn from their wicked ways, right? And basically this is a finishing of the sanctification is basically the things that we do that we know we're hurting God, even the little things, just stop doing it. Just turn away. And that's really basically it. Now, the reason why I kind of talked about, hey, this is just my face and stuff like that, is I really want you guys to know, like, I don't believe that when God gave that word to me, you know, I was just kind of screaming there and being like, hey, repent, repent, repent. I believe God's heart really is to come into his people, right? To come into his church and to bless us. But I think as Solomon's porch, right, as we continue to mature, you know, are our hearts here just for a Sunday and hoping that God is going to come on a Sunday and rock our socks? Or is our desire for God to come into our lives and rock our socks on a daily basis? Right? I think it's good as a church. God, come. God, come. No, really, come. And I know this is our heart. But I felt like God was saying, are we doing that Monday? Are we doing that Tuesday? Are we doing that Wednesday? Are we doing that Thursday? And maybe he was just speaking to me, Ricky, are you doing this Monday? Are you doing this Tuesday? Are you doing this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or is it only on a one-day basis as we walk into worship saying, God, come, fill this place? Right? And this is kind of what the second thing I kind of want to touch on quickly is, right, remember for the Israelites, before Christ and the Holy Spirit, God's presence rested in the ark, right? And when they built the house, he promised that he would rest in the house of God. Well, after Christ came and he died, he left for us the Holy Spirit, right? And the word tells us, right, that our bodies are a temple of God. And God's desire is to rest in his house, just like he did here. But his house now is not any place, right? PCM talked about this. It's not just a church. It's not a mountain. It's not a tent or something. He now rests on us, his people. He rests on you and he rests on me. But in order for us to do this, right? Remember, even they had to do the burnt offerings, right? As God, forgive us. How can God rest on us, right? And P. Salamat, this is something I still remember when he was preaching about the Holy Spirit being used by the Spirit and whatnot, right? And he gave the example of he had a cup, right, a coffee mug that he wanted to drink from, and he was on his desk, and he was thirsty, and he went and he looked at the coffee mug, but it was dirty. And he himself, he was like, I don't want to use that dirty mug. So he went to grab a new one. Now, I don't want to make that claim to say, oh, we're dirty, but the truth of the matter is, right, when God looks at us, yes, Jesus has sanctified us, but God also desires for his people to be holy in all of our conduct, right? And so let's close our eyes. I think if I was to summarize everything that I said today and on Sunday, it's basically just two things, right? One, where is your heart? Where is it? I mean, not in a like a condemning way, right? But just between you and God, not because of me or whatnot. Are we really seeking holiness? Are we seeking righteousness? Are we seeking to obey in every way that God calls us to obey? Or are there areas in our hearts where we kind of feel like, okay, God, I'll give you this, but not quite that? And then the second thing, just kind of encourage us is, are we in a place where we desire for God to come so thick every day, not just on a Sunday, but every day where we say, God, come, floor me, floor us. And are we responding in such a way where we're saying, God, I sanctify myself because I know you desire for your people to be holy. And so come, Lord. So come. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and as Jeff leads us in a song, let's just really reflect really ask God, God, is there anywhere in my heart that I haven't repented for, or I haven't been completely honest with you? Let's just really respond to God this morning.
Obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple. Is empty, pale and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. To grow and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. So lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you.
So Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, God. God, we thank you for your Son, God, who you sent, God, and came and just died on the cross for us, God. And God, because of his obedience to you, God, we could have life, God. We can be connected with you. And God, beyond that, Lord, we desire you, God, to an even greater degree. And so, God, continue to teach us, Lord. Cover us, Lord, with your grace and your mercy. And Lord, in your spirit, Lord, we give you permission, God, just to remind us, God, when we need to come to you and to repent. That, Father, Lord, we seek a life, God, of sanctification with you. God, help us, Lord, like in Hebrews 12, Lord, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us. God, help us, Lord, to walk. This is such a perfect song, Lord. Let us help us walk, God, in truth. God, give us one obsession for you, God. Give us a passion, Lord, for your word. And God, to really just love and to follow after you, God. We thank you, Lord. So let's turn to our community focus. Let's really cover our friends who are battling cancer, who are going through chemo and who are recovering from surgery because of cancer as well. Let's really pray that God really comes in his healing, full in healing. And let's really intercede over them, and let's really cover them and their families as they go through this time. Let's also cover those who are sick, but also in need of salvation. Let's really pray that God, you know, I keep saying this, births just a spirit of faith over them. But really, let's pray that God opens their eyes, opens their ears, really unveils them in their heart, that they may understand the truth of God, that they need a Savior. That, yes, they need physical healing, but also, more importantly, a healer for their soul. And so let's really pray for them. Let's really cover them. Let's really ask that God will just bring them just salvation through his son. Let's also pray that the kindness of God really just comes over them. The word tells us that it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance in Exodus 37. So let's really pray that, you know, for them that physical healing will come, but that the kindness of God will just really cover them in such a way that they recognize conviction and repentance. But let's really pray that over them as well. Slide. Let's pray for those in our community who need healing. Let's also pray for healing over them. But let's also pray for Pastor Sam this morning as well as he goes into surgery for his shoulder. Let's really pray that full healing. Let's pray that it'll be a short recovery, 6 weeks instead of 6 months. But even then, let's really pray for before he goes in that, you know, full healing is going to take place, that, you know, the surgeons are going to go in there and they're going to find nothing wrong, that they're going to close him back up and be like, there's nothing wrong. Let's really pray that God heals him and it's just covering over him as well. So let's pray. Let's pray for those in our community looking for work as well. Let's really pray that God's favor is over them and that God continues to provide for them. Let's pray that God's peace covers them in this time, especially if they're going through a difficult time and it's been a long time. Let's also pray against any lies of the enemy that tells them they're not good enough or they're not worthy. But instead, let's really pray God provides for them. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's really pray for our missionaries, Grace and Ashley. You know, Grace is back actually on furlough. Let's really pray that God really renews her, gives her a time of rest, and really provides just comfort and you know, before we send her back. And let's really pray for Ashley as well, who's still at Bloom. Let's really pray for her. Let's pray for Pastor Oh, his vision to reality, and let's really pray that God continues to guide him, you know, in Cambodia and in his work, and Pastor Tang New Life Church, who we support. So let's really pray that God does a mighty work in Cambodia. Let's also lift up our board members. Let's pray for P. Sam, Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for wisdom of God to really cover our board, that they may make decisions with the Lord's wisdom. Let's also pray for them as we kind of finalize our transition with everything going on. Let's just really pray for covering over our board, their families, their work, all things. Let's pray for the hospitality ministries. Let's pray for a welcoming barista. Let's really pray God's just really just zaps them with his love, you know, as they plug into God, and that it'll be out of that overflow, that as they welcome people, as they serve, that, you know, people can really see God, you know, and them as a love letter of God. Let's really pray for them. Pray that God really blesses them as well for their serving. And yeah, so let's really pray. Let's cover our house churches tonight as well. Robinson West, New Conduit Road, Robin Hood, Sha Tin, Tai Hang, Elements, Happy Valley, Island. Let's really pray that God really just comes into every single house church. There's, you know, that the Spirit of God will be so thick that really whatever they have planned, that even just that they can rest in God. Let's really pray for the leaders. You know, it's the first time they've been starting up in a while and it must be busy and whatnot, but let's really cover them and really pray that God just comes and touches our house churches. Father, we thank you, God, and as your people, Lord, we just come before you, God, and we seek your heart, and God, we desire to have a heart of David, God, not just so we can seek our benefit, Lord, from you, but that so, Lord, we could also bless you, and so, God, we repent, Lord. God, we're sorry, God, for the things that we've done, Lord, and God, we just want to say, God, we desire you, and God, we want to walk, Lord, with you, and so, Lord, will you help us, God, will you in your kindness, Lord, in your love, God, bring us to repentance, Lord, and conviction. But God, we come before you, Lord, and we love you. We just want to say that, God, we love you. And so, God, may you be blessed, Lord, by our prayers, by our hearts, God, and just really by the actions, Lord, and the way we live our lives. And so, God, I pray, Lord, for covering, Lord, over my friends, God, and I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, as they go into their workplaces, as they go into their meetings and whatnot, God, may you really be with them. God, may your Spirit be so abundant in their life, God, that Lord, they feel your manifest presence today, God. And not only them, but the people around them, God, see your grace and your mercy on them. That even their countenance, God, is so different, Lord, because you are with them. God, I pray for covering, Lord, against backlash, Lord, in any way, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you just really come in your presence, Lord, and your blessing. And that, Father, Lord, you be our God, Lord, and that we can be your people. And so, God, we love you, God. We bless you, Lord, in this place. And all God's people said, amen. So, God, bless you guys. Have a great day. Enjoy your time of prayer.